And good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio is Alan Pope, scientist in residence at the Sitka Sound Science Center, and Lauren Bell, director of the Scientist in Residency program. Welcome to Morning Edition, folks.
Thank you.
Well, Alan, you're here because you want to focus on community outreach. You're really excited to just talk to students and adults in the community at large about glaciers because you're a glaciologist, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of the time I study glaciers using satellite imagery, which means a lot of time sitting in front of my computer screen. But I got into glaciology because I love being outdoors and studying glaciers in the field. And a lot of the time, I don't get to talk to people about glaciers. And so this month, I'm here through the entire month to talk to a whole range of different people around Sitka about glaciers and glaciology and why they're important.
Well, we're going to focus on your focus, which is community outreach, in just a bit. But first, let's talk a little bit more about you and your science. So you're based at the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Boulder, Colorado. But glaciers have taken you all over the world, correct?
Yeah. So I guess it started with my first visit to glaciers in Switzerland when I was working in a lab there. And then still in college, I came up to the Juneau Ice Field for the first time. So first time I was ever in Southeast Alaska. But I've done projects in Iceland, in Svalbard, in Nepal, in Greenland, in Sweden, and even in Antarctica.
So you've seen a lot of glaciers.
A lot of glaciers.
Now, Baranof Island itself actually does have glaciers, which some people might not be aware of. Do you plan on heading up to those?
Hopefully. We'll see. If the weather cooperates, then yeah, hopefully I'll take a hike up to a couple of the glaciers and see what's on the top of the mountains.
So why are glaciers so interesting?
I think they're interesting for a lot of reasons. First of all, they're just beautiful and really, really interesting to study. But they can be really important for water resources, whether that's around here, something like hydropower in Colorado, where I'm based. It's really important for agriculture, water resources. The big reason around the world is understanding how glaciers behave can tell us more about sea level rise and what we can expect in the coming century. So really important for a range of different reasons.
Now, if you do get to head up to our glaciers, I mean, you've seen dozens around the world. Is there anything different about ours?
They're on Baranof Island. That's what makes them special here.
Why should we care about them?
Because they can tell you what's happening to a region. They're a really strong climate signal. And so if you want to understand how a region is changing, the glaciers are a great way to tell you what's happening to a region. And for Sitka in particular, glacier melt helps provide some of your electrical power and your drinking water. And especially in the Gulf of Alaska, the meltwater that comes out of glaciers has different nutrients in it than the meltwater or the rainwater that just washes off the land. And so glacier melt is an important contributor to the ecosystems of the Gulf of Alaska as well. So even though it might seem like glaciers are just up in the mountains, they're really important for the fisheries in the Gulf of Alaska too.
Yeah, it's really easy for Sitkans to forget that we have ice fields and we have glaciers, because unlike the Mendenhall, they're just up there. And if you don't typically hike up into the mountains, you don't even think about them.
Exactly.
Well, you are here specifically so that Sitkans can think about glaciers. What are some of your outreach programs you'll be doing?
So I've been here for almost a week, and we've done two outreach events so far. We went into Kiko Shaheen Elementary School to talk to the science club there about where glaciers are and why they're there. And we did a Ocean Sciences Bowl Club, Science Club last night. But we have a whole bunch of different events planned at all of the different high schools around town and a few public events as well. We're doing a natural history lecture at UAS towards the end of the month. We're doing a science cafe, mostly for educators, but for all the science-interested public. And we're trying to plan an informal movie night where we take a Hollywood blockbuster and talk about all of the bad science in it as well.
Now you have something that's like sort of like a glacier goo.
Yeah.
Can you describe it and how you've unveiled it so far, or plan on unveiling it in Sitka?
Yeah, so we tried it with some high schoolers last night, and we're going to at least take it to the elementary school, but anyone can make it at home. It's just some borax powder and some Elmer's glue and a little bit of hot water. And it flows like a glacier does, except a whole lot faster. So if it moves slowly, it'll ooze. If you try and pull it really fast, it'll break, like forming a crevasse. And we were playing around with it to help the students understand how glaciers flow and what influences them. So if you make it warmer, they flow faster. If you make it steeper or narrower, the glacier will flow faster or slower. And you can look at how glacier flow differentiates from ice sheet flow. So lots of little mini experiments you can do and get hands-on with what otherwise is a really kind of intangible sort of process.
You know, for a scientist who spends so much time sitting behind a computer, you sound like a natural educator. Has this always been of an interest for you?
I really love teaching. So the program I'm here visiting with the scientists in residency is normally for mid-career folks. I'm a little earlier in my career, but I'm looking right now for teaching jobs as well. So I really hope that education can become an even bigger part of what I do.
Well, we're going to get back to you in just a minute, but Lauren, tell us a bit about the SURF program and what's coming up and how people can find out more about how they can connect with Alan this month.
Sure. So the Scientist in Residency Fellowship is a really neat program at the Sitka Sound Science Center. We got a very generous grant from the National Science Foundation to basically offer mini sabbaticals to mid-career polar and subpolar scientists. So we say to them, you can come to Sitka, you can work on whatever you want to work on, whether that's doing research here, writing, or just having time for quiet contemplation. And what we ask in return is that you do at least a week's worth of outreach in our community. So it's a win-win for both us as a community that we get to bring in these really highly qualified scientists from all over the U.S., and also for them that they get kind of a break in their routine, that they can focus on other things and hopefully learn a little bit about a different part of the world and how to communicate to maybe a community that they're not used to interacting with. So the SURF program, we have besides Alan, three other scientists who are coming to town for mini sabbaticals this year. And we actually right now are accepting applications for 2017 SURF Scientist in Residence Fellows. And you can go online to sitkascience.com/SURF, S-I-R-F, to learn more about that.
Sounds like Alan's really going above and beyond with the outreach expectation component.
Oh, yeah. That's why he was such a strong applicant, because we could tell he already came with a lot of tools and would be such a strong asset to our community. So it was kind of a no-brainer to bring him up here and get him into the schools. And people have loved interacting with Alan so far. So I'm sure if you'll see him on the street, you'll strike up a conversation, because he loves to talk about glaciers and the outreach that he's doing.
How can people take a look at the schedule so that they can stalk Alan, track him down?
Most of the events are on the KCOG community calendar, so you can check those out there. As Alan mentioned, the two big events that he's doing this month that are open to the public are the Natural History Seminar at UAS. That's on February 25th at 7:30 p.m., and also a Science Cafe at the Sitka Sound Science Center on February 18th at 5:30 p.m., open to whoever. It's a pretty informal gathering, and Alan will be providing some tools, especially for educators, to help bring glaciology and how satellites are used to study glaciers into their classroom to their students.
And other schools that he's going to head into, or Alan, that you're going to head into?
Yeah, I'm going to be heading to Mount Edgecombe at least once or twice, Pacific High School, and Sitka High as well. And I'll just make a little plug that in case you're on Twitter, I really like tweeting about my science as well. I'm at Pope Polar. So you can find out about what I'm up to and just generally about snow, ice, glaciers, and satellites there as well.
You can even watch a time lapse of the glacier goo flowing down our little improvised glacial plain last night in our Ocean Bowl Science Club.
So, Al, I'm going to put you on the spot. For those listeners who have never had an opportunity to step onto a glacier, what's it like for you?
So I'll go back to the first glacier that I ever stepped on, and I wasn't sure what to expect. I mean, it seemed like this really big moment, but it is just ice, first of all. Good to understand that. I thought it was going to be super slippery, but it was actually really grippy, because as the glacier erodes the rock underneath it, all these rocks will often get entrained in the ice, and so it was kind of this icy, rocky mixture. And I was there in the summer, So we could see all of the crevasses. It was not dangerous. You could see where it was safe to walk on and where it's not. Sometime, like say this time of year, it's just going to be look like a normal snow surface, but there might be some dangerous cracks lurking underneath as well.
And what color? You were there in the summer, so there wasn't the snow covering.
No. So where I was kind of this, it was right near the edge. So it was kind of this dirty whitish gray. But when you get some purer ice, it's this beautiful blue color, this really deep blue. And actually, one of the projects I worked on when I was a grad student was making a little video called What Color is a Glacier? Looking at all sorts of, I just took a whole bunch of pictures from my own fieldwork and some of my colleagues as well, where we could see glaciers looking completely different all over the world. And that's actually one of the questions that the elementary school students posed to me last week. I need to go back to them with an answer next week about why is glacier ice so blue, and we're going to talk about that a little bit as well.
Well, if you were to sweep away the snow from our glaciers, what color? What do you think colors do you think you'd see?
So towards the top, it would probably be that whitish, brownish. There's going to be a little bit of rock on the top, and the ice at the top of the glacier is usually filled with lots of air holes, and so it has that white color. It looks kind of like the ice that you might put in a drink sometimes. When you go to the bottom of the glacier where it's been really, really compressed and the crystal structure changes a little bit, that's where it's that deep, deep, deep blue color. So it depends where in the glacier you are.
What does it sound like when you step on it?
When you step on it, it's kind of crunchy. You'll hear all of the, at the surface, the ice crystals aren't very consolidated, and so they'll move around a bit. And so you'll feel a little slippery and a little crunchy underfoot. If you are walking on, say you're going down into a crevasse or something like that, then it's going to get a lot slipperier and it'll start resounding with kind of this ice canyon around you and start echoing, and you'll hear the dripping water around you. And if you're lucky and you put your ear right up to some of that older ice, you'll hear lots of little popping sounds as the air bubbles that are trapped inside the ice get exposed to the atmosphere now.
Well, Alan, thank you so much. I hope you get a chance to visit glaciers up on Baranoff Island and enjoy your time here interacting with Sitkins and talking about glaciers.
Thanks so much for talking to me this morning.
Our guests have been Alan Pope, scientist in residence at the Sitka Sound Science Center, and Lauren Bell, director of the Scientist in Residency program.